We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, everywhere and every
way, every moment of the day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Jason Wilhelm. How are you doing this morning,
I'm
sir?
Great. Good morning to you. Yeah, it's good to be here.
God's so cool.
He is.
He's awesome sauce.
Yep. He's pretty cool. That's for sure. Not quite as cool as it is outside this morning, but he's cool.
Right.
Different kind of cool, right?
Right on. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us
Absolutely.
Out?
Absolutely. Father, we love you this morning, God. Thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives, God. Just thank you for being such a good Father. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that as we go into your word this morning, Lord, that you would just breathe, illuminate, God, bring revelation to us. Father, and what it is you want to say to us, what it is you want to do in us. God, whatever it is, we say yes and amen to it. We trust in you, your plan, and what it is you want to do with our lives this morning, God. And Father, I pray that every ear would be open to hear, every heart be open to receive revelation and truth this morning as the Spirit of God breathes on the word. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning.
Faith. Me too. Yeah, absolutely. It seems like a pretty simple word, though. You know, it does. And everybody... Oh, you know, all of us as human beings, we kind of have, I guess we get our own ways of thinking and definitions, and we apply our own intellect to different words. And faith is one of those words. It really is. And sometimes we can have a little bit of a skewed perception of things in the Word of God. So what I want to do this morning, my goal is, I believe it's the goal of the Lord in our lives on a daily basis. What I want to do this morning is I want you to know this, that you have an identity in him. You have a calling in him, a place on this earth, something that he has set you on this earth for as a time such as this. You're here not by coincidence, all right? We're here for a reason right now. If not, you'd have been born in the 1800s or the 1500s or whenever it might have been. God's got you here now for a very specific reason. You're a valuable asset to the kingdom. And what I want to do is, on your way to finding your identity in him, on your way to finding out what that thing is, because listen, we can be exercising in what that is before we ever even arrive in destiny. God has designed it that way. So here's how it works. It's this little old word called faith. This little old word called faith. And that conjures up a lot of different thoughts, I know, for a lot of different people. But here's what I want to do. I want to draw out the faith that's in you, and I want to get it involved with who you was created to be. And who you were created to be is very important to the Father. And every good father, every good father is fully invested in his kids. And this faith is a huge piece to the puzzle of getting invested and involved and getting who you are released on the planet. So... Here's kind of how that works. In the world, I've given my children as much good counsel as I can. Some of it probably really wise, some of it from the Lord, and maybe some of it just not as wise, but I've given my kids as much good counsel as I can concerning the things that, that they are or they have faced, they are facing, or they will be facing somewhere in the future. And here's the thing. I know who they are. They're my kids, so I raised them. I know who they are. I know their traits, their characteristics. I know more than likely where, when, how they're going to fail, if that be the case, because I know them. And I wouldn't be a good father, number one, if I didn't have a good enough relationship with them to make that work, right? And then number two, if I didn't make an investment in their life to help them reach their full potential. That is your father, and that's what he's up to. That's what he wants to do. He wants to breathe counsel and life into you. He wants a relationship with you in such a fashion that it's father-daughter, father-son, it's daddy and his kid. And this is the brewing pot of faith in our lives. We're going to get to the root of that word here pretty quick. But I want to give you an example. And I use this. We went through about a 4 or 5 week kind of session on faith. So I'm bringing a lot of things in this morning, and hopefully we can kind of get it all tied together and it'll make sense, because I'm going over literally probably 4 or 5 weeks worth of preaching. So I bet we can get her done if we have enough faith, right? So my oldest son, I used him as the example. I'll use him again this morning, and I can do that. He doesn't live around here, so I'll just go ahead and use him. He's a good kid. All three of my boys are awesome kids, outstanding young men. My oldest son, from the time he was born, I was a worship pastor for, 25 to 30 years, probably about 25 years. And so I did then and have never stopped living a life of worship. It's the sweetest part of life as far as I'm concerned. But even when he was in the womb, I would take my guitar and sit in front of him and mom and would worship the Lord and sing. Mm. Now, two of my kids, all three of them can play, but two of my kids they're musicians. They grew up with me in church in our worship band playing. So awesome young men. And I'm saying that the Lord would have it no other way. So from before the time they were born, and I'm using the oldest as an example, but from the time they were born, before they were born and when they were born, we've never stopped speaking life over them, never stopped speaking encouragement over them. We've always put truth into their lives. And I just use the oldest boy as an example. He was a bull rider. And, every time that he would leave the chute, if I was on the back of the chutes helping him, I would lean down to him and I would speak this scripture into his ear, that God has given you authority over all the beasts of the field, and there is nothing that this animal holds that is above you. You have all the ability to do what you need to do here. You're a champion of the kingdom and for the glory of God. I would say those things over him, and of course you there might have been some other people around that could have heard that and thought, this guy's a nut. But what that did, and it did it with all of our kids, but what that things like that did, our children, They walk with some could perceive. I use my oldest because it's easier for people to perceive this on him. They could be perceived as being slightly arrogant or cocky because they have so much belief in what's inside of them. They have so much faith in what has been put into them in life. They see no room for failure. Even in failure, they see success. You get my point. So they are always going forward. Always, I used to speak things to him. He'd be out on the road having a hard time. I'd tell him things like, and this was a Henry Ford quote: "The airplane always takes off against the wind. There's always going to be some wind. You're just going to have to lean into it and go," things like that. Just speaking, always encouragement. I'm telling you, that is the heart of the Father who has called us his own. He is always inputting these things, always put them out there, always speaking into us. And so the second part of that is this. is this, that if those kids didn't buy into what I was saying, if they didn't buy what I was selling, it wouldn't work. Never would have worked. And, you know, if they don't trust what I'm telling them, they're not going to buy it. Relationship is the key. And when you're a child, what do? You just believe what your dad tells you, right? Yeah, you just believe what your dad tells you. That's why Jesus said it's important to become like a child. It is the key to this faith thing actually working in our lives. It's the key to it. But in order to do it, you got to buy in. You got to be whole hog. Now, here's the beautiful thing. And I have done it. I have seen it done over and over and over. I've applied it in this fashion. And if we're all going to be honest, I think every one of us would say, yeah, I've been there. Have you ever been in that situation where you just are in a spot and you just start confessing the word over it, speaking the word? Well, I've prayed about it and nothing's happening, or I'm praying and believing for it, yet nothing ever happens. And our minds just keep going back to, I'm watching, trying to see if the grass is growing. Is it happening? Is it happening? Is it happening? The problem that we have as human beings is that there are, and I think I have this actually on the next sheet, but there's two types of what would be called faith. There's God faith and there's man's faith, you see. And our problem generally is that we try to stamp our intellect and ability to understand something on what we're doing. And we'll get to that. But the most important thing is this: faith is a gift from God. And we'll talk about those two different faiths here shortly. Hopefully we get there. But faith, the faith that we're talking about, the Greek word is pistis. And in that, it is always a gift from God. It is never from the intellect or anything man can manufacture or make happen. No matter how much we want to take this word and speak it, it's nothing that we can manifest. Faith is always God-given. Always God-given. Romans 12:3 says that he has given to every man the measure of faith. He has given to every man the measure of faith. I want to take just a minute and talk about that, Romans 12. And see, it's things like this, Monica, that will keep me from probably finishing, getting on the sidetrack. But there is such an important thing embedded in this. You start in the first verse of Romans. You see, this is of 12. This is where Paul is talking about that, we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now, I think I will just qualify that. There was a story in the New Testament over there in the red letters in Matthew, I believe it was in Mark and maybe Luke, where there was a man who had a son who had epileptic fits, and he had brought this child to the disciples while Jesus was up on the mountain praying. And there, this word, excuse me, this word is proshuke in the Greek. Now, here's the deal. We're going to look at that word again in just a second. Here's the deal. Proshuke, translated as prayer, is so much more, again, than what our intellect tells us prayer is, okay? Jesus was off on the mountain offering all that he was to God. He was alone with the Father in a reciprocal relationship. He was speaking. The Father was speaking. There was worship taking place. This word proshuke at its root literally means a place of worship. It means to bring yourself to the Father and present yourself to him. And it is an oral conversation with God as well. So when he came in, the man brings the child to Jesus. And here is this faith in action. The man brings this child to Jesus. He said, hey, my kid, he's got this problem. I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't fix him. If you can do anything about it, please help him, Lord. And Jesus' response really was this: if what if? And then Jesus says this to him: if you believe, your son will be healed. For if you believe, anything will be possible to you. This word believe that's used there, now we can use them interchangeably, but we need the correct understanding. But this word believe is derived from the Greek word pistis, which is faith. If you have this gift from God to believe in total conviction, if it has been given to you, then all things are possible. And then the man says, Lord, I believe, this same pistis. I have faith. I have persuasion. I have conviction. But help me with my unbelief. Unbelief is the hugest roadblock to what it is that God has placed in our lives. Whether we realize it or not, you can say, well, no, I believe that word. But yet in that first scenario, we've all been there. I've prayed. I've read. And I'm still looking and I'm not seeing it. I'm still looking and I'm not seeing it. It's not going to happen. But I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep petitioning. I'm going to keep begging. I'm going to keep going back. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being tenacious. I don't want you to get that point. The point that I want you to get is we're going somewhere very powerful with this. This faith thing is always a gift and it's always about surrender to what it is he wants to do and not what it is we want done. That's now listen, God wants to bless his kids. The word says that he will give us the desires of our heart. The difference there is the desire of your heart to have done exactly what it is that he wants to do, because whatever it is that he's up to and wants to do, I promise, is the best result for everybody involved, all of us. So it says the disciples come and they say, well, Lord, how come we couldn't cast this out? How come we couldn't take care of it? Now, I don't want to get into a bunch of biblical theology, but I'm going to tell you this, and it's true. And here's, I'll always encourage you, always, always, always encourage you, go check this out. Go look for yourself and see if what I'm telling you is true or not. And if it's not, hey, come find me and we'll get it right, okay? But you can go and look in the Interlinear Bible. You can look in the original manuscript. In Jesus' reply, there's a word that was not originally there. It was actually added by the translators of the King James. And so Jesus said this in the King James, New King James, NIV, I believe, it says this, that this kind only comes out by what? Prayer and fasting. Fasting was not in the original manuscript, only prayer. And that word is proshuke. This only happens by a life of living sacrifice and worship to the Father, by being alone with him in your prayer closet and having him pour into you revelation and life, which brings about this great faith. And so this divine faith over here in Romans 12:3 that we just quoted, he has given to every man the measure of faith. Paul starts the chapter in verse 1. That's verse 3. Starts that chapter in verse 1, and he says that we should live our lives, give our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. And what Paul is saying here is absolutely the essence of Jesus' answer to how this great faith comes out. Proshuke, to give and offer all that you are. You should live your life in this manner. Paul is saying he's given the actual essence and definition of what Jesus had just told them. Should live our lives as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable to the Lord, and is our reasonable service. And what that literally means is this: it's the only logical response to who God is to live a life of worship, live a life of prayer, be a person who is completely and wholly given to him, his will, his rule, his reign, everything that he is. Live that kind of life. And then Paul says, because if you do, You're going to prove, show, walk in what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. This is what Jesus was conveying to those disciples. If you live that life and allow God to be God in you, these things will happen everywhere you go. That faith, that innate thing, that gift of God will go to work in your life. It won't be you who's trying to wield some King Arthur's sword. It will be the king inside of you that is wielding his own sword. That is what the power of faith is all about. There is nothing that I can do on my own, even under my God-given abilities, that will take me all the way to where God has called me to be in this life. It takes faith. It takes faith. It is persuasion. At its core, this is what pistis means, to be persuaded, to be convicted. It is a persuasion that goes beyond and defies all human logic. It is a persuasion that you would bet your whole life on. The problem we have in Christianity is this. This faith that God has given, that says that he's given to every man the measure of faith, this faith that God has given, we tend to accept it to the point of salvation. Then we get our dirty little grubbers on it and begin to mess it up as we go along. So Paul says there, after he talks about living this life of proshuke, this life of worship, a living sacrifice, and those things, then the very next thing that he says is this. He said, listen, by the grace God has given me, and it is by grace through faith that we have been saved. That not of works or of ourselves, but it is a gift from God. It is within us, God given. It's nothing we can do. So he says this, by that grace that I've been given, I want to encourage you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Don't take your interpretation, your intellect, and plant it on this to try to make it happen or make it work. He said, I want to encourage you, because of the grace I've given and have been experienced, I want to encourage you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. It's not you, it's him. Then he says this, but think soberly, soberly, as according to the measure of faith that God has given to every man. God has given to every man the measure of faith. So he says, I want you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. This ain't yours. It's not your word. You can't wield it and make it happen. It comes through a life of worship and being given to the Father in that way, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, having your mind renewed, transformed and renewed, not being conformed to the ways of man and to the world, but being renewed. How does that happen? The Word of God is how it happens. That's how this faith begins to brew in us. So then he goes on and says, I'm telling you, think soberly, soberly, according to as every God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That word soberly, you know, we read over that casually. What's the first thing that always comes to our minds as humans to think soberly? Not under the influence of alcohol or drugs. I mean, that's the broad, you know, not under the influence of this or that. And it is somewhat what he's saying, but the Greek word there for soberly literally means this. Look inwardly. Don't look at yourself outwardly. Think with your mind, your history, your intellect. Look inwardly according as God has dealt a measure of faith to you. It is the Christ in you that you've got to look into in order to live this way. He goes on. He goes on from there and begins to talk about those motivational gifts, the personality gifts that God has placed on everyone. And he says, hey, if it's prophecy, let that person prophesy according to his measure of faith. Teaching, let him teach according to his measure of faith. If it's mercy, let him be merciful according to the measure of faith. In other words, he's saying, begin to be who God has created you to be according to the faith that God has breathed and given as a gift of grace to your life. Don't do it out of your own will, way, thinking, intellect, any of that. It is a gift from God. It is the persuasion and conviction the Father has placed in your life that you've bet everything on. That is what faith is. It has nothing to do with what we think or what we want or what we want to manifest, but everything to do with what the Father has said and what He wants to do. Even Jesus said this, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say. The works that I do are not mine, but they're His. The words that I speak are not mine, they're His. Jesus operated in a faith like no one on this earth has ever operated in from that time forward. The key was He lived that life that Paul was talking about, that life of complete surrender, given a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, filled with the God-breathed word that brings faith. The word declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If you have kids, if you have a wife, if you have friends, if you have anything, any kind of relationship, you know, you can say something to someone and they can hear what you said but not hear you. You know what I'm saying? I lived my life early on in this life, as most of us do, cutting my own trail, blazing my own way, and do, you know, I had a lot of good people around me that really, really, really tried to help me and speak into me. And, you know, today I know, I realize their love and what they were trying to do. And even then I knew they were trying to help me, you know. But what they had to say, I didn't hear. And also, if I come and tell you, hey, Monica, you need to get this fixed in your life or you ain't going, you know, what immediately begins to happen is we begin to draw back. I don't know about that. It usually causes rebellion. This is part of what Paul's talking about. Don't think from outward influence. Judge yourself from what is inside, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. When God says something to you, and I'm going to tell you, when God says it to you, it's what you would call revelation. It is something revealed within you. Jesus said this, that he told the disciples one time, he said, I have a lot of stuff to tell you, but you can't handle it. But when the Spirit comes, He will guide you, lead you into all truth. God said, this is the covenant that I will make with them, us Christians, us who have received Christ. This is a covenant that I'll make with them. I will write my laws upon their heart. It has now become something inside. This is what Paul's trying to get at in that whole sequence there. It's now become something inside. You see, when I have an idea, it's the best idea. If it came from inside of me, uh-huh. But when someone else comes and tries to tell me what I need to do about something, I'm like, uh-uh, no. It brings rebellion. We've got the best thing that ever could be. We have the origination of God revelation breathed inside of our lives. And when you get that revelation, the power of God will explode in everything you do. This is the faith of God that He has given. That measure of faith is the same faith that God speaks with and uses. He has placed it in us as His kids. And here's a good example of that. Paul in Romans 8:38 and 39, he had been in a big jam. God proves Himself to us over and over and over and over in life, right? Yeah. And so Paul, he comes to this conclusion, and this word, he says, for I am persuaded. This word persuaded, guess what word that is? Pistis, faith. It's the same word. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, or any other created thing, nothing in all of creation, he says, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It is an absolute 100% persuasion that what God has breathed and said to you will happen. It is not the intellect and mind of man that is able to read a word and try to apply it in every situation. Jesus himself said, I only do what I hear the Father say. He is my example. He is the breath of my life. Everything I do is his and not mine. Now, I am not taken away from this. These principles are principles to live by. But I'm going to tell you right now, and somebody might say, well, that's heresy. I'm not going to buy that. But I'm going to tell you this. This book is nothing more than dead wood, cowhide, and ink apart from the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And if you look back and you look at the law, it's impossible to take this word and apply it to your life apart from a relationship with its author. It's just the truth. You can't keep it. Won't happen. And if you try to, sin will rebel against it. Anything that comes to us outwardly will always rebel, just like the explanation I gave earlier. But when it happens inwardly, it's a whole different story. We need to take a break, we can, or whatever you want to do there.
Yes, sir. Would now be a good time?